3, verse 13 to 17. In today's picture, Jesus Christ, our King, was baptized. Verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus replied, let it be so now, means baptize me. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Together, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Amen. Today, Jesus Christ, our King, was baptized. Just before, in verse 11, John the Baptist testified, I baptize you with water for repentance. But there is one pointing Jesus who is greater than me and even whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist has been explaining Jesus would be much greater than he, Jesus' baptism would be much greater than his baptism. When suddenly Jesus came to John, even from Galilee, to be baptized. You know, at that time, the land of Israel consisted of three parts, northern area, Galilee, central, Samaria, and southern area, Judea. And Jesus and John the Baptist was baptizing in Judea, southern area, bottom line. That's why verse 5, last time we saw in verse 5, people came to John to be baptized from Judea, from Jerusalem, from whole region of Jordan River, from near place. There's no mention from Galilee, even from Samaria. You know, from Galilee to Judea is about 65 or 70 miles. Can you come by walking 70 miles? 70 miles is more than 100 kilometers, more than. From Galilee to Judea was too far to come to be baptized by walking. Then Jesus maybe alone traveled this long distance on foot by walking. No bus, no train, no horse. Along dusty roads, not nice roads, dusty roads, from Galilee and Samaria into Judea to meet John, to be baptized by him. Shall we see verse 14 and 15? Verse 14 and 15. But John tried to deter, prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? 15. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John agreed, consented. No wonder John was surprised at the loss of what to do. No. Baptize me. Jesus said, no, baptize me. They said to each other, baptize me. No, baptize me. You know, John's baptism of water was for only sinners. As a sign of repentance for forgiveness. Then last time we saw many of Pharisees and Sadducees came to the place where John was baptizing. They only watched, but they rejected to receive John's baptism. Why? Because they did not think they were sinners. They were not conscious of their sinfulness because of pride, arrogance, or ignorance. Then Jesus, sinless. Jesus did not need John's baptism. Jesus did not need repentance. Jesus did not need forgiveness. Then Jesus said, "Baptize me. It is proper, it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. One of the key words in this passage is righteousness. You know, one of the very important ideas in Jesus' mind, in his lifestyle, in his teaching, especially in the book of Matthew, is righteousness. So in his Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, Jesus mentioned several times the word, the term righteousness. We are very familiar with his Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness surpasses than that of Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. First seek his kingdom and righteousness." Jesus says, baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. Then what does it mean? To fulfill all righteousness. What does it mean? It does not mean to fulfill the law, because no law required baptism. You know, in the Old Testament, the word, the term baptism is not found. Also, it does not mean to fulfill prophecy, because there is no clear connection to baptism in prophecy. Then what does it mean when Jesus said to fulfill all righteousness? Righteousness is a very important idea in Christians' life. In this passage, when Jesus said to fulfill all righteousness, righteousness means right relationship, righteous relationship with Father God, who sent him by obeying in every aspect of life. Right relationship with Father God by doing all his wills. Are you enjoying righteousness in your life? So at this moment, I want to say to you several reasons why Jesus was baptized, even though he did not need John's baptism for repentance. First, Jesus was baptized to confess sin on behalf of all human beings, the nation. Just as the prophets in the Old Testament, such as Isaiah or Ezra, Nehemiah had done. For example, prophet Nehemiah confessed the sin of people. Nehemiah 1:6, Nehemiah prayed like this: "Your servant, O God, your servant, I am praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess sins we Israelites including myself, my father's house, have committed against you. Also, Isaiah prayed like this, Isaiah 6:5, woe to me, curse to me, I'm ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm living among a people of dirty mouth. It means he confessed the sin of his people, Israel. At this moment, I want to encourage or challenge you about this question. You know, if you have never confessed sins, I'm sorry to say you are not Christian. You are not saved. But if you have confessed only your own sins, it means you are still young Christians. But if you are mature, as a man of faith, you are to feel the responsibility to confess not only your sins, but also sins of others. Your family sin, our community sin, even our nation's sin. Jesus was baptized to confess on behalf of all human beings. And secondly, Jesus was baptized to accomplish God's mission and advance God's work in this world. You know, for the past 30 years, now Jesus is about 30 years. For the past 30 years, Jesus had waited in Nazareth in Galilee, faithfully performing just the simple duties of home, carpenter shop. But all the time, he knew a world was waiting for him. All the time, he grew increasingly conscious of his waiting task, waiting mission for the salvation of the world. Then, when John the Baptist, his forerunner, appeared, emerged, he knew his time had come. So, Jesus was baptized to inaugurate, to initiate his public ministry to bring the message of salvation to all people in this world as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And also, Jesus was baptized to show support, approval to John's ministry. You know, John's ministry of water baptism for repentance was from God, not from man. So Jesus approved it by being baptized willingly by John. It means Jesus showed his respect to John as his forerunner. And another reason, Jesus was baptized to identify himself with us. He identified himself with the publicans, even sinners, the very people he came to save and serve. To identify with the penitent people of God, with humanness and sin. One of the reasons why Jesus became a man was to experience all our experiences, all our sufferings, all our weaknesses, all our problems, just except for sin. That's why he is able to help those who are being tempted. And also, Jesus was baptized to give us an example to follow. First, he was baptized and then commanded us to be baptized and help others to be baptized. You know, Mark 16:16, almost the conclusion of Mark says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And in Matthew, almost a conclusion, Matthew 28:19, in conclusion, go and make disciples of all nations, what? Baptizing baptizing them. Jesus was baptized to give us an example to follow. So if we are really Christian, we must be baptized. Are you baptized? If you are not baptized, you must be baptized. Then if you are baptized, you must help others to be baptized. I once challenge you, if you are baptized, just check up to now how many persons became being baptized through your help, through your service. Then John's baptism. John's baptism, 2,000 years ago, John's baptism is different from Christians' baptism today, our baptism. You know, John's baptism was done before Jesus' public ministry. But our baptism is being done after Jesus' ministry. So John's baptism meant only public confession of sin. But our baptism means public confession before anybody, everybody of our faith. I accept, I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, Lord, and King. So to us, water baptism is our word symbol of inward experiential reality of our union with Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And finally, he was baptized to picture his future baptism on the cross. You know, Luke 12:50, Jesus says, thinking his crucifixion, I have another baptism to undergo. How distressed, how troubled I am until it is finished, it is completed. So Jesus' water baptism pictured his self-denial, his self-humiliation, self-emptiness, his suffering, his death on the cross for my sin, for your sin, and his burial, and finally, his resurrection. Because of these reasons, purposes, Jesus, our King, was baptized. Shall we see next verse, verse 16? Let us see what is happening when Jesus is baptized by John. Verse 16 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. First, what happened? Heaven was open. And then he saw the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit descending like a what? Tiger? Dove. Not dog, dove. And lighting on him. The opening of heaven presents God's intervention into humanity in the human presence of God in Jesus Christ. It was as if heavens rolled back to reveal, to show God's invisible throne. You know, apparently, clearly, the action of Holy Spirit descending from heaven like a dove was a sign that Jesus was Messiah, and the age of the Holy Spirit predicted by prophet was officially, formally beginning now. You know, Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, it was already prophesied. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 says, yes, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our Lord's time, and to comfort those who are sad, those who mourn. Anyway, the descent of the Holy Spirit like a dove represents God's mighty working in this world. As you know also already in Genesis, in beginning, at creation, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God was hovering over waters. And in after the great flood, at the time of Noah, the dove carried, delivered the news to Noah of receding, decreasing waters. After flood, Noah sent two birds. You remember? Raven and dove. Then only the dove came back. You know, the raven represented the flesh. There was plenty for raven to eat outside the ark. Raven could eat the dead things. But the dove did not eat the dead. So the dove returned to the ark. And second time, the dove was released, sent again, and it brought olive leaf, a symbol of peace. And third time, it did not return. Means the descent of the Holy Spirit like a dove represents and signifies God's almighty work in this world. Also, it emphasizes how the Holy Spirit related to Jesus Christ. It shows gentle and peaceful but active presence coming to anoint Jesus Christ. Also, from this picture, we can learn who the Messiah was, is, and what kind of Messiah he would be, how his power, authority would be demonstrated and used. You know, his nature was revealed not by tornado, not by thunderclap, not by eagle, not by hawk, not by tiger or a lion, but by gentle and peaceful dove. It was his royal anointing. Shall we see last verse and what was happening finally in last verse? Verse 17 says, "And a voice from heaven." Whose voice? God's voice. "And a voice from heaven said," yes, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." You know, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased," is God's direct announcement. After my sermon, there will be announcement. This is a heavenly announcement to all human beings. In the New Testament, there are three special occasions on which God spoke to his son Jesus Christ directly. For example, in one case, in his transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, Jesus went up the high mountain with his three disciples, Peter, James, and John. And his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And the voice came from the cloud, from heaven. Same sentence. "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And one more sentence added, listen to him. Listen to him. This is a heavenly announcement to all human beings. Another case, as he approached the cross, Jesus prayed to Father God personally, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it already. I will glorify it again. Three times there was a voice from heaven to his son directly. It means in the past, Father God spoke to the Son from heaven directly. But nowadays, God is speaking to us by his Son. Hebrews 1:2 says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. Yes, all Christians, all believers, you and me, all believers would eventually be called sons of God, children of God. But Jesus Christ is a different, unique relationship with the Father. He is the one and only unique Son of Father God. You know, in Greek, the literal translation of this means, as for you, you are my beloved Son. Loved Son. And this is, in the sentence, this is my Son. This is, shall we say together? This is means this sentence was announced, spoken publicly to Jesus, to John the Baptist, to all who were there, and to us. And in him I am will preach the means Father God has taken his great delight, pleasure, full satisfaction in his Son all the time, constantly, past, present, even future. So, this God's voice from heaven, heard by everybody, is a direct sign the age of the messianic time has arrived now. Also from verse 16 and 17, we can see all three persons of the Trinity are together present and active. You know, in the story of Genesis, in creation, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Also, in the job of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, the Trinity God works together. God the Father spoke, let there be light. God the Son was very active in creation job as the Word itself. Do you remember John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through him. Nothing was made that has been made without him. That Word became flesh. Means the Word was Jesus Christ as King at the beginning already. Also the God, the Holy Spirit was hovering over waters. The doctrine of Trinity teaches us God is three persons, but one essence. God is one, but God is three persons in one essence. This is one of God's incomprehensible mysteries. Still today, the Trinity God is working together in perfect harmony, in perfect relationship to keep your salvation, my salvation. God bless all of us through our King who was baptized and teach us the wonderful and perfect example, what kind of man we should be in his presence. Shall we pray together? Oh, Father God, we thank you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our King. Father, our Lord Jesus, sinless without sin, clear, pure, blameless, spotless, so holy, but you were baptized to show your final baptism on the cross, your self-denial, self-emptiness, self-humility, suffering for our sins, for our salvation, for our justification, for our eternal life, and for your resurrection can be our resurrection. Thank you for your baptism. Father, once again, I pray, I ask, we may be faithful in following your steps because we are your followers, your disciples. Bless all of us, keep us, and strengthen us not to fall down into sin, but help us to stand up under any situation, any challenges, any problems, simply because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.